Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26. You say, well, we were here in Sunday school, we were already in Isaiah chapter 26. Well, repetition is a good teacher. Actually, no, it's because there's a text in here that we didn't explore fully when we were studying the passage for its doctrinal content. And now we are going to look carefully at two verses here in Isaiah chapter 26, even in their own right. They provide a great, great spiritual encouragement to us today. Isaiah chapter 26, look with me at verse 3 and 4. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." You know, many of us have memorized verse 3, but boy, those two verses together sure go well. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, allow us by the work of your Holy Spirit today to do something that only you can do. We're out of the way. We're here simply as a mouthpiece. Lord, we attribute what's in this message to you and to your word. We ask you now to take control of everything that's done through this preacher so that you can say it the way you want it said and communicate it right to the hearts and to the minds of those to whom you're speaking, that application be made according to your will. We pray for the lost, that they would receive Christ, and for the saints to be edified, and in all this that you're glorified, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know, that can be a hard thing to do sometimes. There are people that talk about Jesus Christ, and the concept of trusting him is something that's easy to say but hard to do. Because trusting the Lord means you've kind of taken your hands off of a circumstance, you've put it in the Lord's hand, and you are letting him do whatever he wants to do in that circumstance, work things out according to his will. So, in this particular passage, notice what he said about trusting the Lord. When you trust the Lord, first of all, you're going to have perfect peace. That's what he said. Trust in the Lord, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You'll have perfect peace when you trust the Lord. You know, the peace of God is something, when we talk about trusting the Lord, that is foreign to anybody who looks at their relationship with the Lord as something that you do. Randy and I were talking the other day, and he had an opportunity to visit with folks just like I do. And in visiting with people, you'll oftentimes hear them say things. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They think they are communicating one thing to you, but they're actually telling you something very different when out of their mouth comes a particular phrase. For instance, in talking to people who have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, you might describe to them that receiving Jesus Christ is a matter of praying to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll hear them say, "I've done that." As if that were something in a list of religious check marks on a list of what it takes to get to heaven. "I've done that." May I tell you something? Salvation is not something I have done. Salvation is something that I am. Something I have become in Christ Jesus. I am a new creature. So trusting the Lord is this. Listen, Jesus Christ, when he was here in the earth, you've heard me say before, but I'll repeat again, lived a perfect life because you can't, and neither can I. So he lived a perfect life so that there would be a perfect life to present as a record before his Father. He had to do that so that he would have a perfect sacrifice for our sins. But when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he gives you his perfect record and he takes away your sins. The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So the first peace that we find that we have that's perfect is the peace that comes from the Savior. Listen, when you're not saved and you come to a service like this where somebody is preaching that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that you might receive Him and have His perfect record to present as your account before God, and you're not saved, you know there's something inside of you that starts going, ooh. Because the consequence is this. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're not saved. You don't have the way, you don't have the truth, you don't have the life to get to heaven, no matter how good you may be living in your life or how good you may think you are. And there is an uneasiness that comes over you and an uneasiness that came over me when I was where you are now, when I thought that I might be without Christ and I might, without Christ, die, and then I would certainly not be with Christ in eternity. That's not peaceful. But when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He comes and takes up residence inside of you, and you have a Savior who then takes it upon Himself to get you to heaven, and it becomes His responsibility, not yours, to get you there, there's a peace that comes over you that comes from the Savior that says, you know what? I'm reconciled to God. My sins are forgiven. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. And no matter what, if something happens to me now, I know where I'll be when I die. How many times I've been with people that are in hospitals or maybe even in their homes and they're dying. And they'll look up at me and they'll say, well, preacher, I'm not afraid to die because I have peace in my heart. You know where that perfect peace came from? It came from trusting in the Lord who gave them perfect peace because they have a Savior. That's a peace that came from Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. And if you don't have that peace in your heart today, you can. You say, ah, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Let me give you a little illustration here. I use this from time to time. These brand new chairs here, I haven't had a chance to use this, so I need to break them in. Don't do it, preacher. Okay, well, I won't stand on it, all right? I know there's some of you were worried about, don't do it. I've stood in them before, but I won't. You know, you may think right now that I'm depending upon, that I'm trusting this chair to hold me up. I'm not going to ask somebody to come and slide this chair out from behind me. It's a heavy chair. I've moved them around. But the point is, I'm really not trusting that chair to hold me up. I mean, if you were to pull it out, I'd be like this. I have my feet firmly planted on the ground. The idea is, I'm trusting what I'm doing, and I'm leaning on this chair to make you think that I'm trusting this chair to hold me up. But really, I'm not trusting this chair because I'm afraid it may not hold me. But when I get up in this chair like this, do I need to take my boots off? Let me just do it this way, okay? Now, if you come pull the chair out now, I'm toast. Absolutely. Why? Because I am trusting this chair fully to hold me up. And when you trust in the Lord, you're trusting that what He did for you at Calvary is all you need to get to heaven. He's taking care of everything. And that He can give you peace with God by Himself. Why? He's at peace with God. And He gives that peace to you. But you know something? There's also the peace that comes from the Spirit of God. When you trust in the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you the moment you trust Him. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to bear fruit in your life. And that fruit is love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But we want to concentrate on the third thing. That fruit is love, joy, peace. You know something? The Spirit of God, when He comes inside of you, has something He wants to do. Zach, come here. I'll use you as an illustration. He says, you know, you keep this up, I'm going to quit sitting on the front row. Stand right down there. Okay. Now, let's just pretend for a minute. Turn out there and look at all those people. Hi. Now just pretend for a moment that I'm the Holy Spirit and that I've come inside of Zach. I have, as the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, and I know what's best for him. And so what my deal is, one of the things my deal is my deal is to guide him, to lead him. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons, you getting tired of this? Of God. Okay, and so my job as the Spirit of God inside of him is to try to get control of this vessel and lead him in the will of God. Now, he's unfamiliar with somebody taking control of his life, and after all, he's, are you still 17? Yes, okay, thank you. Whew, boy, this is going to be a long. Oh, and a few more days? Huh? 2 more days and then he'll be 18? Happy birthday to you. We've got time to do that. We'll do that on Wednesday. Okay, so then I'm trying to get, but he's got his own mind. So he's going to want to try to go this way, which isn't according to the will of God, and I'm going to try to get him to go this way. And you know something? When he is going the direction that God wants him to go, which after all is going to be the place of his greatest joy, the place of his greatest love, the place of his greatest fulfillment, the place of his greatest service, he is going to sense a peace inside of him that he is right where he needs to be. And when he's not, he's going to feel a little agitation from me. Right? See? And so there's a peace that comes from the Spirit of God, and you find that peace when you are in the will of God. And that peace is a wonderful, wonderful peace. It comes from the Spirit of God. Thank you. You've been very good. I didn't even lead you around very much. I just kind of, took it easy on you. In case y'all didn't know this, Zach's birthday is in a couple of days. He likes gift cards to Academy. Bass Pro Shop. I can't read your writing here. Oh, Cabela's. Cabela's. Perfect peace. Trust in the Lord. And what do you get? With that, you get a perfect peace. A peace from the Savior, where you're reconciled to God. A peace from the Spirit of God that just floods in you when you are being led by the Spirit and you're in the right direction. You even get a peace from God Himself. Listen to this. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Did you get that? The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. You know, there is something I remember. I didn't understand this piece about prayer. I understand more now than I did when I was younger. But when people pray, you can seek the Lord, you can get good counsel, you can be in the book, and there is a peace of God that comes over you that, you know what, says it's going to be all right. Look, you take two people. I'll give you a perfect example. You take two people. Here's one guy, and he's been diagnosed with cancer, and they tell him that within 6 months he's going to die. It's terminal. Here's another guy, and he's been diagnosed with cancer, and they tell him that he has 6 months to live, and his is terminal. And they both go to the Lord, and they both say, Lord, please heal me. They both say that. And then they go back to the doctor in a month, and the doctor says, I don't know how to explain what I'm seeing here, but you're healed. And he tells this guy, I don't know how to explain what I'm seeing here. I thought you had 6 months. You got about 2 weeks. Same God. And I've seen it happen both ways. And both of these guys have perfect peace. You say, how is that possible? Because they come to a place where they trust in the Lord and they say, though I do not understand this, you have a peace that passeth understanding, and it's keeping my heart and it's keeping my mind, and I'm just fine with it. Amen. Years later, you look back and you go, you know what? If that fella hadn't passed, this wouldn't have happened. And if that fella had passed, this wouldn't have happened. And God's way was perfect both times. You know why? Because God's always right. And God's always good. Trust in the Lord, and with that trust comes perfect peace. Peace from Jesus Christ and from the Spirit of God and from God Almighty. But I'll tell you what, there's more to it. He says, trust in the Lord forever, right? And in verse 3 he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How many of you ever had collar stays? Yeah. We have button-down collars. Your collar stays. You put that in there and it keeps that collar rigid so it doesn't go, and you look like a clown with a tie on. So he says that whose mind is stayed on thee, that's a mind that is supported by the Lord. That's a mind that is locked on to God. And he says, you know what? When you trust in the Lord, not only do you have perfect peace, but you have mental soundness. You have mental soundness. I don't know, listen, if you try to gauge mental sanity by looking around in the world today, you're going to be sadly disappointed, because I'll tell you what, I think Lester Roloff was right. He said America is a country that's an asylum run by the inmates. I mean, you see it. You look around and you're like, where did they come up with these crazy ideas? People are crazy. Listen, you are experiencing in this world blinded minds. You say, why? Because the gospel is often preached like you hear it preached today, very clearly, very certainly, very directed at your heart. And yet there are people that just don't even see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, or lest that light should shine unto them. And so their eyes are blinded to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't get it. You're not only dealing with blinded minds, you're dealing with reprobate minds. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that when people are no longer thankful and they're not giving glory to God, what starts happening is a degeneration of what they worship. They quit worshiping the Creator and they start worshiping the creature and the things that are created. That's evolution. People say, well, we got to have a separation of church and state because we can't be having some sort of a state-run religion here. You know what? Evolution is a state-run religion in so many respects. Why? Because it's just another attitude about how you got here to remove people's accountability to God. You can't remove that, but you remove it from their minds. And when you do, the mind goes reprobate. What happens from there? Every kind of vile affection and every kind of sin you see going on today is the consequence of a mind that goes reprobate. What is it? It's just a mind that has no consciousness toward God at all. None. Not only are you seeing that, you're seeing possessed minds. You know, there was a fellow, do you think the only demon-possessed people that ever lived were the people that lived in Jesus' day? Have you ever read that stuff in the Bible? Everywhere Jesus shows up, there's demon-possessed people. And you go, there's a guy there in Mark chapter 5. He's also in Luke chapter 8, I think. Let me see. Yeah, Luke chapter 8. And this guy is a guy that's dwelling in the Gadarenes. The guy is so crazy, he runs around naked all the time. And he's so demon-possessed, when they put chains on him, he has this supernatural power. He breaks the chains. He cuts himself, and he runs around in the graveyard screaming and hollering. Can you imagine what it'd be like to have a funeral out there? Let's get this done quick. The guy was flat out of his mind. The Bible says he was possessed with legion, which means he had a lot of devils inside of him. As a matter of fact, when those devils left him and went into the herd of pig, I think there were 2,000 of them that drowned in the sea. That guy was loaded up. I think I met him yesterday. He's back. Wow, you're dealing with some people that are possessed. People say, how in the world did they go in there in that school and shoot up all those kids? Mine's gone. They say it's in the gun. I don't believe that. I believe it's in the mind of the man that handled the gun. And I think there's a lot of demon possession in there. You know what the Bible says when Jesus Christ cast those devils out of that man? That when the people from the town came back to see what was done, they saw him sitting, clothed, listen, and in his right mind. He had something he hadn't had for years. Not only are you seeing that, but you're also seeing unstable minds. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I've never seen anybody so wishy-washy in all my life. That's what we called them. I don't know. Don't know which way to go. Sound like, I don't want to go there. But you know what the Bible tells us? God, listen, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. a mental soundness. He says, straighten up a messed up mind. How many of you, before you got saved, can honestly testify now that you're looking back, that your mind was messed up before you got saved? There you go. Look, now hold them up there for a second. Anybody around here that doesn't know Christ yet, look around. Look at all these idiots in here. No, my mind was so messed up. But you know something? Once I got saved and I started reading that Bible, it's an amazing thing how all of a sudden that mind started thinking properly, started thinking about God. Things started lining up properly. And I'm like, how did that happen? God did that. When you trust in the Lord, you get a mental soundness. You know what the Bible says? That in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, I have the capacity when I'm reading this Bible. That's why I tell people when you read the Bible, don't worry about trying to find the trickiest, newest, shiniest, most easiest to read, simplest version of the Bible. Get God. I like the old one, because I believe these are God's words. You take that old King James Bible and go in there and say, Lord, I'm too stupid to figure this out, but you wrote it and I got your mind. Why don't you tell me what it says? It's an amazing thing how he opens that book. You know what that is? That's mental soundness. And you get that from trusting the Lord. It's not something you get from your intellect. And you know that because Jesus Christ said, I thank thee, O God, thou hast not revealed this unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes. It's not an intellectual capacity. It is a mental capacity, a sound mind that comes as a gift from trusting in the Lord. You start thinking right. Oh, that's a good thing. You know something? When you trust in the Lord, you get perfect peace. You get a sound mind or mental soundness. I'll tell you something else you get. Look here one more time in verse 4. He says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is what? Everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. You know what used to imitate me when I was a kid? I'll tell you what used to imitate me when I was a kid. We got a couple of visitors right here. Of several, but a couple of these fellows that have come with Kay today. They play football. And you can tell that because they're big and they're ugly and they're mean. You shake hands, they growl. No. Now, I was a pipsqueak. You know, I graduated from... I even hate to tell you this, man. I ran track and I ran cross country. When I graduated from high school, I weighed... You're not even believe this. I weighed less than your left leg. I weighed 127 pounds. When Ann and I got married, I weighed 145, you know? So I used to look around and I was like, hi. Can I shine your shoes? Just leave me alone. Don't do it. Don't hurt me. You know what I mean? And so I always attributed strength to physical capacity. Brawn. Then I started reading the Bible and I said, there you go. I can be strong, and it's not physical. It's spiritual, and it's not temporary. This Bible says it is everlasting. Amen. You know what the Bible says? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. David was really good with that slingshot, but I don't think that David hit Goliath in the middle of the eyes with that rock just because he was good with the slingshot. I think he knew when he let that thing go, God was going to direct it right to its intended target. And boom, he popped him because he said, I trust in the Lord God. You know what David said in Psalm 71? He said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Now I know he's strong. You know how I know he's strong? Listen, one night, Israel was under attack. Hezekiah was crying out to God and Isaiah was crying out to God on behalf of Israel, and they were being surrounded by the Assyrians. They had their elite forces out there getting ready to attack Jerusalem, and they cried out to God. One angel from God, we're not talking about God himself, we're talking about one of his created angels, went out there among the elite forces, and that night, one night, killed 185,000 soldiers. One night. What did we lose in World War II? Like a 500,000 over all those years? One night, one angel. The God that created that angel that can do that much devastation, I'm going to tell you what, He's strong. I don't have to depend upon my strength. I can depend upon His. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know what? When you trust in the Lord, you get His strength. If you can get, listen, if you get on His side and He gets on your side, there's nobody that can hurt you. Back during the Reformation, one of the men was preaching, and I think it was John Knox, and all the people said, "Hey, nobody's standing with you." He said, "That's fine, then I'm going to stand against them. Because me and God are a majority." That's an invincible crowd. Listen, you have the strength of the Lord God, you have the strength of wisdom. And I was reading through there in Proverbs, and he says, "A wise man is a strong man." And when I looked at that, I thought to myself, you know what, I don't have to be mentally strong if I'm wise. A wise man scaleth the city the strength thereof. What is it? Destroyeth the strength thereof, or something like that. You know what? Wisdom's better than that. I'm not taking anything away from you. You've got to be big to be on the line and do what you guys do. But I'm going to tell you something. What I'm going to tell you is this. When you have God's wisdom, you have strength. You have strength. And you're going to need it. As times go in the future before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, things get a little bit worse around here. Your strength will play out, but your wisdom won't. And you got to have it. And the only place you're going to get it is from God Almighty. And when you get that kind, you'll have all the strength you need to survive anything that's coming. People say you got to stockpile gold. You got to stockpile silver. You know something? When the food runs out, you can't eat those. I've been trying to eat this gold cap ever since they put it in my mouth. It's not nourishing my body one bit. Helps me chew, but that's about all of it. They say you need to stockpile all these groceries. You better not let anybody else in the world know that you got a stockpile of groceries. Because the first time they run out, they're coming down to your house. And they're going to take it all. Now, you better have more strength than that. And the strength that is required for that comes from the Lord God Almighty. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord. He said you'll get His strength. You'll get His wisdom. I'll tell you something else. You'll have the strength of grace. What is grace? Let me just tell you that I can't really give you a definition that's going to summarize it all up for you. They've come up with all kinds of ways to remember what grace is, but I'm going to tell you what grace is. You see, God has this supernatural ability, supernatural strength, supernatural things, aspects, because He's God. When Paul was here ministering in the earth, he got very weak, and he thought that he was getting weak as a result of something that Satan was doing to him. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to God. He said, "Get this thorn out of my flesh." And three times God answered him and said, "No." God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And what Paul learned is that, listen, in times of necessity, in times of persecution, in times of reproach, in times of distress, in times of infirmity, he said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." He said, "And I glory in these things." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." Grace is a supernatural supply that matches your need. Now watch this. If you're trying to go through some circumstance in your life and say, "Bless God, I got to be strong here," then you are going to exhaust yourself in your strength and you're going to come up short. But when you, through God's divine work, realize your humility and your inability, that's where Christ's strength matches your weakness and makes you strong. You don't get that by, believe. I'm strong. That's hogwash. That's mental insanity. That's crazy. You get that from trusting in somebody, You get that from trusting in the Lord, and He gives you His grace, and it will match any weakness you have, so you come out strong. The qualification for it is not how strong you are. The qualification for it is how weak you are and how strong He is. You get His supply of grace. Let me tell you something. Trust in the Lord. Why? For perfect peace. In the salvation of Jesus Christ and the supply of God and the Spirit of God in your prayer and in His fruit. Trust in the Lord and your mind will straighten up. You'll think right. Trust in the Lord and you'll be strong. You will have a strength of God to match every occasion in your life, get you through anything this life has to offer, and get you by eternity. And let me tell you something. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to leave here the same way you came in. I asked for a show of hands a minute ago. I want you to look around and notice something else. How many of you, at the end of a salvation message in a church, at that invitation, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Raise your hand. Now just hold them up there for a second. I look all around. You see that? You see, it's very common, thank you, for people in a church service to hear the gospel and realize, that's what I've been needing. I need to trust the Lord. I need to be saved. And then they got saved. You know what we're going to offer you? An opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today and have perfect peace with God. We're going to offer you that opportunity. You say, what do we do? What do we do? Well, in just a minute, Bobby's going to come up here and he's going to lead us in a song, a hymn of invitation. And at that point, you'll hear some things being sung just to solidify in your mind that what you've been hearing is really true. It gives you a chance to really consider whether or not the Spirit of God has given you something you personally need. It gives you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to sing two verses. When the two verses are done, you know what I want you to do, just as we're finishing that up, just slip out of your seat when we wrap it up. I'm going to go right down here. Just slip out of your seat. Come right up here and say, "Preacher, I need to trust Him." And then what I'll do is I'll ask somebody like Randy, you've seen him up here, or Brian, you've seen him up here. I'll say, "Hey, go back to my office or go back to Randy's office. Open up that Bible and show them how to receive Jesus Christ so they can leave here with the grace of God." Leave here with the peace of God. Leave here with the strength of God and know for sure that you've got it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless this time of invitation. Such a simple, simple little message, yet so profound in its simplicity. And Father, I ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, work in the hearts of these that are gathered here. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Listen, I'm not going to ask you to show your hand. You'll come and let us know in just a minute that you want to receive Christ. I simply want you to do this. Think seriously. You know now whether you've trusted Him or not. You know that. You know now whether you're trusting Him or not. So I have two things to say and then we're going to sing. Number one, Christian, you're here today. You've got Him already, but you hadn't been trusting Him. No wonder your mind has been unstable. No wonder you've been without peace. No wonder you seem to be so weak in the face of circumstances. You know what you need to do? You've been saved, but you need to really trust Him to get you through these things. You're here today and you don't have Christ. You know what you need to do? You need to trust Him by faith that He'll save you like He said He would. Father, I ask You please to have Your will and Your way in this invitation for Jesus' sake. Amen.